Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Our guest at this time is filmmaker Sine Skipsholt, and we will be talking about her latest film, Long Live Love, screening soon at the International Documentary Film Festival in Amsterdam. Sine, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. So before I forget, I wanted to congratulate you because I understand that your latest film, Long Live Love, which we will be talking about, has picked up the top prize at the Astra Film Festival, Romania's biggest documentary gathering. So that's pretty exciting.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much. It's just, I'm so happy that the film is out in the world because these times, I mean, I haven't even experienced the film in a cinema with audience. So it's so strange and yet such a joy that it's out there, having its voice in the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, these are difficult times. And one of the things that we've had to give up in various parts of the world is the theatrical experience. And so hopefully we'll be able to experience this film too. And you will be able to experience this film too with people in an actual screening room.
Exactly, because it's a big part of it, you know, working on a film for almost 3 years. And you know, the experience of sitting in the cinema room and feeling what are the tensions, what is the energy, how are people reacting to certain specific moments in the film. It's a big part of finishing it.
Exactly. And you know what? That's interesting because what I like to do with these interviews for Big Fret Tuesday is I like to kind of start off with a relatively simple question so that our listeners and me can find out a bit more about whoever I'm interviewing. So we talked about the theatrical experience, but, you know, just thinking about the origins of your interest in documentary, what was it that sort of prompted you to embark in this career?
Well, I think it was a long journey, and it's for me the same question of what makes a person. There are so many coincidences in life, I find, that push us in different directions. And for me, I've always been very keen on documenting life. My father has always photographed a lot. But I didn't even know that documentary filmmaking was a way of life, that it was even possible to do that as a living. And through my 20s, I started working in children's television. And I found out that there was something called the National Film School of Denmark. And so I secretly applied for this, making my first two very short documentaries. And I got in. And so this whole new world opened up to me. What is documentary filmmaking? And we have a great tradition in Denmark in this artwork. And so for me, coming from a family of purely doctors, dentists, nurses, the whole art culture was completely new for me. So I've always felt that I'm a bit behind a lot of my fellow directors. Not so much anymore. But so I went to school for 4 years, and reality, the real life, is just something I love. I've never thought about being a fiction director. I really don't think I would do very well. So yeah, it's a love relationship, and it's my whole being. So I hope that's not too cryptic, but it's really like a part of, okay, how did I become the person I am? I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, you mentioned discovering an early interest in documenting life. And I'm wondering, what stories did you find yourself particularly drawn to early on?
I very early in life realized that life ends. I went through some losses in my family. And so trying to preserve, trying to hold on to what can be lost, just felt very urgent. And also experiencing loss just made a huge impact on me. So, that's heavy stuff, of course. And I feel at home, if, that makes sense, when I'm close to people who are in this sort of crisis. And I think that's why I'm able to be there for so many years, because it's also, it has a price to witness, other people being in very difficult situations in life.
That's fascinating because, of course, in Long Live Love, which is your latest film, you document the relationship between a mother and a daughter, and a teenage daughter in the documentary has had to deal with serious health issues in her young life, including beating cancer twice, I believe. And yes, this is not the first time that you explore, if you will, a situation where health issues sort of disturb the balance of lives and the relationships between people. So this is a type of story that has always interested you, I gather, from what you just said, right?
Yes, it is. And also, how do we cope with it? And specifically, I find that for some reason, when life presents something that we cannot control at all, we seek for meaning and we seek for some sort of black and white versions. And I'm very interested in the gray area in between. With my debut feature, Who We Were, it was the same. You have a married couple, and what do you do when you cannot recognize each other anymore? There's no villain, there's no hero. And the same with Rosemarie and her mother in Long Live Love. They struggle with their separate paths in life. And for me, there's no right or wrong. It's not like one of them is doing everything right and the other one is doing everything wrong. It's two individual people trying to cope with life.
Interesting. We'll get into that in more detail. But first, I'm curious, how did you meet them, the protagonists of Long Live Love?
I've known the family for more than 20 years. My best friend from when I was in my early 20s is the sister of the mother in the film. And so I was in their family. I moved to Copenhagen and my family lives in Jylland. And they kind of took me in. So I've known Katrine, the mother, for many years. And also when she had Rosemarie, and in particular when Rosemarie was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 3. I had just started at film school, and I filmed Rosemarie for different things I had to do at school. And then I kept on filming just when she started school, when her younger brother was baptized, and for the family's sake. Then years went on. I lost contact. And when Rosemarie was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 13, her father called me and told me about it and asked me if I would like to meet up and maybe document what she was going to go through.
So it was basically their idea.
It is.
Why do you feel that is?
Well, first of all, my thoughts were, oh my gosh, I've just made a film about people and illnesses and crisis. And my second thought was, there are so many films about children and cancer, and it's difficult. But then I think that they thought, okay, this could be a help for Rosemarie. How do you preserve your history in life? And when she, 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line, she would have a document of what she went through, because she has actually been very happy with the recordings I did when she was a young child. to see, okay, I remember something, but I don't remember everything. And then she could see the recordings I'd made, and it really helped her. So I think that was their interest.
You know, you mentioned that it could you felt that it might have helped her, but another thing that I noticed in the film was that there is a lot of honest conversations shared between the mother and the daughter, including where they both attempt to explain how they feel through the situation that they're living. And I was thinking that I love my family, and despite me being far from home most of the time, I would consider my family to be a very close and tight-knit unit. But also that we hardly ever had such honest and profound conversations. So what I wanted to ask you was, do you feel that the presence of your camera somehow worked as a catalyst or in any way helped them communicate that way with each other?
This family is explosive, and I know this from knowing them through many, many years. They're really explosive, and they're very generous when it comes to showing other people that they have arguments and that they're passionate. So I knew that this wasn't something rare to them. They're not embarrassed about having big arguments. And I knew this about Katrine, the mother, and she has raised her daughter. And so Rosemarie is a very strong person, very opinionated. And when I started filming them, it very early on was clear to me that the cancer story was not really the essence. The essence was the relationship between the two and trying to understand how Rosemarie felt that she that her mother failed her, and trying to really comprehend what kind of impact it makes on a mother to think you might lose your daughter, and that will change you for life, and you can never really let go of that fear. So no, I don't think that. I mean, I could have kept on filming; it's still going on. that they have these really, really honest and brutal conversations. Still, I will say that as a documentarist, what I look for in characters are someone who's filled to the brim with something that has to come out to be released. And once I enter with my camera, there is a reason for us to say together, okay, we're going to do this. Now we're going to really look at all this stuff that's going on in the room without anyone saying it. So, of course, it has an impact to start looking at people. I'm not a believer of the, you know, the silent camera and everything is not provoked, or of course we change. If there's a camera in the room, we are affected by it.
Sina, earlier you mentioned that you have somehow always confronted mortality in your personal life and through personal experience. Do you feel that that helps you when you document similar difficult situations in your film?
I think so. I've often been, people have asked me, how can you even be present in those situations? How are you doing? And the first time I was asked this question when I did my debut feature, I was very moved, actually, because I always think that, well, the people I am, my job is to really make their story come forward. And so I'm not of importance. And when I go home to a life that doesn't have all these challenges in them. I'm the lucky one. I mean, I get off easy, but of course I'm deeply affected by it. And I have experienced crying while filming. But I think every storyteller has a place where you feel comfortable. And it might sound strange, but for some reason I feel comfortable when faced with deep existential crisis, because I've tried it physically, emotionally, myself.
Existential crisis?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
When you just don't know what to do, when you just don't know why life is throwing things at you, when you are completely without faith, or you don't know what's up and what's down, and you're right in the middle of it and you think, why me? That sort of thing.
Hmm. You know, that's interesting because one of the things that I've always, that has always fascinated me about the style of documentaries that you sort of represent with your own films, and including Long Live Love, is that the sense that I get from them is that they're very much, they have to be in some way rooted in the present and capture life as it unfolds, because mm-hmm. of the very nature of documentary, I suppose. But that prompts me to ask you, how important is it for a documentarian such as yourself to be able to live in the moment? Or on the other hand, do you already think about how the film will look, or, you know, just how the final work will be in the end?
While I'm in the process of filming, I have to give up my own life in the sense that I have always been able to be there all the time with the characters. It's a challenge because the characters kind of determine how my life is. I've had 2 children during the past 4 years, and that makes it really difficult. So yes, you have to be there in the now. During the filming, different storylines start to present themselves. And so, of course, there's a work of trying to edit things, getting a realization of, okay, where is this film going? What's the end going to look like? And following the narrative that unfolds through life.
Do you feel that by nature, cinema is naturally a nostalgic medium?
Not necessarily. No, I'm a very nostalgic and sentimental person, but I love to watch documentary that are, you know, comedies. I think it's a rare talent to make a documentary film as a comedy. And I don't know very many directors who actually can do this. But of course, you capture time. Like if you go way back to painters who were to capture the important people, and then you have film, you try to lock in time. I think still that is what we're trying to do as documentarists, but not nostalgia, no, I don't think.
So with reference to Long Live Love, actually, I felt, and you mentioned the term fiction filmmaking earlier. So I actually did feel like certain elements of it were structured as if it was a fictional coming-of-age drama. And so I wondered, is that influence there in your work in documentary? Do you look at fiction filmmaking to structure the final work?
For sure. And also, I think that's what the tradition of Danish documentary films have been. It has been moving towards that for quite a few years now. And I'm standing on the shoulders of some of the directors in Denmark who started doing this, looking at the narrative of fiction film, also to tell through scenes, not so much interviews, and so that the scenes themselves have the narrative structure that we know from, you know, novels and fiction films, for sure, for sure. And in Long Live Love, actually, we had to come up with some sort of structure because it's the material is somewhat fragmented because there is this old story from when Rosemarie was a child, and every conversation that she and her mother has, yeah, they might have a discussion about something that's happening now, but the subtext, what's going on underneath, has to do with the sense of loss that they experienced when Rosemarie was 5, 6 years old. So how could we even tell that? How could we get into that? And luckily, Rosemarie has a diary. And so through her diary and interviews that I did with her, we could put together a script that in her own words could tell us this story. And she could, you know, take us by the hand and make us understand what it was that she has experienced.
I found very touching as well the moments where Rosemary sort of tries to imagine what her mother was like when she was younger, before she was born. Then we also see some photographs there. I thought that those moments were quite touching.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's what a lot of daughters do. You know, mirror themselves in their mother. I mean, even trying to imagine who was my mother when she was young, I don't think every teenager thinks about that. A lot of teenagers just blame their parents for everything and think that they're just old and boring and they don't understand anything at all. And I was just so jealous of the fact that they have this trust in each other. I would never have had conversation with my parents that would even come close to the trust that they have in each other and being able to say such harsh things, but still love each other.
So we're actually out of time. It's been a fascinating conversation.
Sorry, yeah, I can talk and talk.
No, it's been, I lost track, and I love it when that happens, of course, because it means that the conversation is very interesting. And I take this opportunity to tell our listeners that, you know, Long Live Love is a fascinating documentary and you should check it out. I do have one final question, and this is just out of curiosity. And somehow it's something that I don't believe I've ever asked any documentary filmmaker, but given the sort of intimate and warm nature of your film, I wonder, do you document your own life?
I should do it more, but actually I did it when I was younger, and now I'm going to start doing it again, and it might just be for my children to watch, but something is presenting itself now.
Yeah. All right, Sina, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and the same. Thank you so much.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.